Joined this morning by the Tigers president of baseball operations. He is Scott Harris. Scott, appreciate you making some time for us this morning. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. So the deadline, I'm sure, could be a stressful time. Are you someone who's like, hey, I'm glad it's over, or did you like the rush of the wheeling and dealing?
A little bit of both. I mean, the whole month of July is a great opportunity for us to add talent to the organization. However, by the time, you know, the clock struck 6 o'clock yesterday, I felt like I was, or on Tuesday, I felt like it was an absentee dad at that point, just because I've been at the office way too long in July. So it was nice to get home and be able to spend more time with my family.
We were all on pins and needles leading right up to the deadline, wanting to know what was going to happen with Jack Flaherty, with Tarek Skubal, with anybody else that may have been on the market. Let's start with Skubal. How much of a market was there? How much conversation did you have with other teams in regards to moving Tarek Skubal at the trade deadline?
We never got close to moving Tarek. You know, Tarek is one of the best starters in all of baseball. And to quote an old Jim Leland line, if we could have traded Tarek for two Tareks, we would have been interested in doing that, but we didn't really find that on the market, so we never really got that close to trading him.
You keep him here, and listen, Cy Young caliber pitcher, will there be a bigger financial commitment around him this offseason so that you don't waste Cy Young caliber pitching?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think we're wasting Cy Young caliber pitching with him at all. We also, you know, have him under team control for two more years after this year. Those are conversations that usually happen in the off season. As I said a couple of days ago, we have a lot of work to do through the rest of the season. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden the trade deadline's passed and we can just turn our sights to the off season right now. We have a lot of work to do to help the players that are in our organization continue to get better in the big leagues. You know, I think we've seen a lot of strides so far with a bunch of our young players. We got to help them keep getting better. And that includes Tarek. He's already really good, but there are some things that he can do to continue to get better. He's working on them daily. So our head, our mind is at the place where, you know, we just got to keep getting better as an organization, keep helping our players get better. And then we're going to turn to those questions when we get to the offseason.
I think people look at it and say he's under control for a couple more seasons. You had talked about the spending happening once a core had been established. That idea of a timeline, can you try to give fans a better idea of what the timeline is for this team to be back in the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get that question, you know, quite a bit, and it's often phrased as, hey, when are you going to spend money? You know, when is this team going to spend money? And I understand the question. No, I get the fixation on, you know, free agent spending. However, embedded in the question is this assumption that spending money equals winning. It doesn't. The goal is not to achieve some sort of, you know, payroll number. It's to win baseball games year after year. And the key to doing that is developing a core of young talent in the big league and spending around that core to build a roster that plays even October several years in a row. It's we're at a place where our timeline depends on our young core in the big leagues. Our young core in the big leagues is developing right now. There are a lot of players, you know, headlined by Holt Keith, who looked like very different players in April, and now we just entered August, and he's a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's getting a lot better. He's going to continue to get a lot better. There are other players on our roster like Rhys Olson, Riley Green, Justin Henry Malloy, Wenzel Perez. A lot of these guys are continuing to get better. You know, the rate at which they get better is ultimately going to determine our timeline. As soon as we think this core is ready to compete deep into the season in pennant races and then deep into October, we're going to spend heavily around the core to round out the roster and make sure that we can, you know, be a real contender deep into October every single year. So with respect to the timeline, it depends on our young core and how fast we can develop them. And, you know, AJ and I and our entire staff have our head down working day and night try to make that happen as quickly as we possibly can.
From a fan perspective, it feels like for every Cole Keith, there's a Torkelson. And when you look at it in regards to that, and you mentioned you have all the faith in Tork, do you expect that Spencer Torkelson will be back up in the major league level before the end of this season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I know that Tork is working his butt off in Toledo to make some changes with his swing and to improve his defense to make a really compelling case to be back here as soon as possible. again, you know, we just to outline the goals here, the things that we're actually working towards. We're not working towards getting him back here as soon as possible. We're working towards helping him refine elements of his game that are going to make him a force in the middle of our lineup for many years to come. And that's what he's working on right now. Will it happen by the end of the year? I don't know yet. But I like the work ethic that I've seen in Toledo. I like the adjustments that he's starting to make down there. And my hope is that it all comes together and we can get him back here at this level this year.
Talking to Tiger President of Baseball Operations, Scott Harris. And Scott, you wouldn't believe how much time we've spent, probably wasted, talking about adding bats going back to last offseason. We had a safe word on the show and everything. So I guess what I'd like to know is maybe we could get some closure as a show on this. I know you didn't want to block guys at the time, but at the same time, there are some glaring holes in this lineup, and we've had this discussion about, can you do both? Can you develop a Colt Keith while looking at maybe third base and going, we don't have a guy there right now? Are there areas that, looking back, maybe it was a mistake that not adding bats held this team back? And that's why when we look forward to 25, we wonder, can you do both? Can you continue to invest in these young players while, you know, the payroll has gone down, gets a little closer to league average, which would help the team compete and would show up in wins and losses?
Yeah, I think we can do that. I think we have to be very intentional and careful with how we do that. You know, for instance, you know, there was a lot of talk about adding, you know, a DH this past offseason. If we had added a DH, it would have blocked a lot of opportunity for guys like Kerry Carpenter and Justin Henry Molloy and Colt Keith when he needed a day off his feet and Riley Green when he needed a day off his feet. So when we think about adding to this team while we are developing young players, we got to be hyper intentional about where the reps are going and what the cost is. So we can do it. We just got to be careful that we're not blocking our young players because, you know, if you look around in this organization, one of the most encouraging things is we have a high impact young player coming at every single position now. I mean, we just added a switch hitting catcher at the deadline who has as high an upside as any catcher in the minor leagues right now. And so if you look at this group, like, we got to be very clear about what we're doing, what the vision is, and how these young players are going to help us. And by the way, when it comes to third base, we have a pretty exciting young third baseman that is developing in Toledo right now in J.S. Young. He's not quite ready to come up here and impact us. There are some parts of his game that he's still working on. But, you know, if you go out and you sign like a, you know, 5-6 year deal for a third baseman, that essentially blocks the path for a J.S. Young to come up and hit our roster and demonstrate that he may be the best solution at the position. He may be better than any of the free agents that we could sign. So I agree with your question. I agree with the point that we can do both at the same time. We just got to be very intentional about how we're doing it and what the downstream effects will be on the rest of our young players.
Because I look at someone like Wenzel Perez, who you could argue was, quote, blocked to start the year. But, you know, good players get at-bats. Injuries happen. It's always good to have depth. And the best players will play, right? So for Jace, if you had signed a shorter-term option at third, not going to use any specific names, and Jace was hitting the cover off the ball, you'd find a way to get good bats in the lineup is kind of the way we've discussed it on this show. So that's just where we're coming from.
Yeah, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. Like, if we, you know, if you think about the third baseman that were available in free agency last year and what they're doing in different places right now, you know, those guys they're going to play. You know, when you sign a free agent like that, they're going to play every day. And so it gets really hard when you have a young player that is knocking on the door and demonstrating that he deserves, you know, reps at this level, and they're blocked by, you know, a free agent who signed to a long-term deal that is here to play. And so, yes, I understand the question. I agree with the point that we should be able to add in free agency while developing young players, and we can. The point remains that we just got to be intentional about how and when we're doing it.
We're talking to Scott Harris. We'd love for you guys to be able to clue us in as much as you're comfortable with how some of these deadline deals happen. John mentioned we're edge of our seat on the Flaherty thing. Evan Petzold of the Free Press reported you had to settle for players because the ask was too high. Can you just explain how you build a market and clue us in as much as you're comfortable with that deal, or just generally speaking, how you negotiate?
Yeah, for sure. I do not agree that we settled with these players at all. You know, think about think about, you know, negotiating to buy a house. You don't go in with your first offer at where you want to land with buying the house. You ultimately spend a lot of time and effort on the strategy that you're going to take to end up with, you know, the price that you feel like is reasonable to purchase the house. I can't talk about the details out of respect to the other GMs and presidents that we were dealing with. But we certainly didn't come out of that deadline feeling like we settled on players that were, you know, castaways from different organizations. We got the players that we targeted, and we're really excited to add them to our system.
Scott, the Javi Baez question, I know it's something our fans want to have maybe some idea of what's going on with him. We know he struggled. People want to know if he continued to struggle, would a buyout be something that you or ownership, maybe ownership may be a more important component of this given the financial situation with that contract, would that be something that ownership would support if it did come to a buyout given his struggles?
Yeah, we haven't explored that at all. You know, Javi has been working really hard, and we've been working really hard with him on his swing and on his defense to help him recapture the qualities and the performance that earned him this contract in the first place. So we haven't explored that idea yet. We haven't talked about it. However, I think it is important to note, you know, in this interview, we talked about spending a lot of money. We talked about signing free agents. Yeah. We talked about, you know, stepping on the gas and adding, you know, players to this roster. And now we're talking about buying out, you know, this organization spent hundreds of millions of dollars signing just a couple of years ago. So it goes back to the point of we got to be really intentional about how we're building this. We got to be focused on what the overall vision and strategy is. And we got to time it up to make sure that when we have a young core of players that we're spending around it to make sure that we're getting to October every single year. So we can't act like there isn't an interaction between those two things because, you know, I sit at the intersection of those two things every day, and we got to be really clear and careful with how we're building this because we got something special brewing here. We got a lot of momentum in this organization. We're undoubtedly headed in the right direction, but we can't start chasing these shortcuts that ultimately lead to the questions that you asked me. Again, we are not looking to buy out Javi Baez. We're looking to help him recapture the ability, the performance, and the attributes that made him one of the better shortstops in baseball because we could use that guy right now.
So, Scott, I do want to ask you about Lorenzo, the player, the catcher. You've already referenced him in the interview, and I think that's a player that Tiger fans would come out of the deadline going, we're excited about. So can you say, because you know, you said you didn't settle for him, what is it about him that excited you, that made you feel very good about pulling the trigger on that deal at the last minute?
Lorenzo is a really interesting player. I'm really excited for our fans to see him play. He's headed to West Michigan right now. We went into the deadline looking for players at premium positions that can help us on both sides of the ball. And he is clearly one of those. He's a switching catcher who, as the kids say, nukes balls these days. He has a ton of quality contact, really can drive the baseball from both sides of the plate. He also has a mature approach at the plate. I think our fans are going to see that he's very disciplined at the plate, but when he gets a pitch that he believes he can do damage on, he absolutely unleashes his A-swing and nukes balls. And so having a catcher that can be an offensive threat will be a huge asset for us. And then defensively, he's got a strong arm. He's got instincts behind the plate. He's a really bright, advanced game caller. He's going to fit really well behind the plate for us. He's still only 21 years old. He was just in the Futures game a couple weeks ago. So there's a lot of development and growth left with him, but he has all the attributes to be a frontline catcher for us. And it's an area in which we felt like we needed to add more talent, and we're thrilled to do it with a guy that can help us on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a buddy who's in Midland who had seen him, and he goes, yeah, there's some tools there. And like you said, he just turned 21. So appreciate the perspective, Scott, and hope to do this again soon.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Tigers President of Baseball Operations, Scott Harris. It's 97.1.